Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, March 29th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Thanks for being with us. Got my good buddy Jagger Chapman on with us today. Jagger, how you doing?
Oh, I'm just blessed. Good morning, Mixed Sunday Morning.
Man, so glad to have you on. And Jags is one of my favorite people on the planet. He's just so much fun and got a great zeal for life and for the Lord. And Jagger and I met years ago at Grace Christian Academy. And man, it's a teacher. He's a student. And they had a great class. Y'all have heard a lot about him, about Operation Impact. But Jagger's been, man, just killing it out there and having a great time doing life. And man, just living for the Lord. And we're so thankful that you're on this morning. Again, thanks for being with us, Jagger. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's just, man, what a morning to talk about what the Lord's doing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Cool. Hey, we're going to take a break here for just a few minutes. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to be hanging out talking to Jagger Chapman on Sunday morning. Back in on Sunday morning, Shaw Gage, hanging out with my good friend Jagger Chapman. Jagger, man, so fun just catching up with you. And we've stayed in contact quite a bit through the years. But, you know, it's seasonal. You know, times come and go, and we all get busy. But you're just one of those guys in life, man. I just remember meeting you and your whole class back years ago. I guess that would have been 2012. And just curious your thoughts when you saw Coach Gage walking into the classroom for the first time and going, man, who is this guy? What's he talking about?
Well, you know what I was thinking about it? Actually, we didn't meet first in the classroom. You were first my football coach.
Well, very true.
And so, yeah. Yeah, and so we met for the first time. I think it was a football camp that we had because I wasn't able to be on the team yet, so we did a football camp. And you were just, I mean, always a blast with stretches. We just start out the morning with stretches, and then every morning you go, "Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day." I actually still say that to this day.
Do you really? That's awesome.
Really awesome. I do, yeah. So that was my first memory of you. So then whenever I got to see you in the classroom, it was, I mean, pretty refreshing because I already knew you through football, but I didn't know I knew Coach Gage, not Mr. Gage. Right. So, yeah, you showing me how to block a defensive lineman and you showing me the water cycle. So, yeah, it was a little different, you know, and also I wasn't necessarily the best person to have in class, you know. I would rather want to throw water around the classroom than learn about the water cycle. So,
well, man, you made it fun. I mean, you were me sitting out there, you know, years ago when I was a student, and that's what I enjoyed about teaching was just, you know, I was not a great student growing up, and so that's how I know it was a calling for me to go back and get a teaching degree later in life. But just to come into a class and find the me's out there, right, and go, man, I'm gonna help those guys and girls just figure out how to get through school, and that'll make it fun. And y'all welcome me in just tremendously. That was such a cool experience so many years ago. So thankful for you guys. And I'd forgotten about the football field. Those were a lot of great times together, but that year we technically did meet, I guess, at the football camps, Coach Dallas and Coach King, and man, what great memories those were, right?
Yeah, they're awesome. And I mean, it was just crazy too that I knew you for, I don't know, a few months, and then you came into the classroom and talked about your testimony with learning about your cancer diagnosis. And man, it just spiked the whole relationship to another level where it was like we weren't just learning about science with you or on the football field with you, but we were walking through one of the hardest moments of your life with you, you know, side by side. So
yeah, and man, thank you and everybody that's listening that was a part of that. It was just a tremendous, I mean, nobody wants to go through any of that, but man, it was such a, yeah, I remember meeting you guys here. I was a sales guy that went back to school in my mid-30s and became a teacher, and I was like, man, I'm just doing life application. They're going to see the good, and they're going to see the bad, and they're going to see the ugly with Coach Gage. I know y'all saw a whole lot of ugly with me, but that's a whole other story. But
that's a whole other story right there.
I talked to Janet about it, you know. It's just like, hey, I'm going to let the kids in on this. I mean, mean, that's what we do, and that's part of the journey, and they need to see that, right? Because I had a lot of people growing up that I would say, or I had, you know, Sunday school teachers or whatever, they go, well, you got to do this, this, and this, and then I didn't see them really living that out or really trusting the Lord in certain situations. And look, I don't do it every time either, but man, when you do it and you just got prayer warriors like you guys, I mean, that was such a powerful, powerful time in life, man. and experience. Yeah. It was, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the Lord had your back. The Lord had all of our backs, for sure. And like, and just the ways that nothing is wasted, you know, not cancer, not science class, not football field stuff. Like, nothing is wasted. And all of those things that brought us here today. And like, if Coach Gage and fifth grade Jagger knew that we'd be on a radio show one day talking about everything that God's done, man, I'd love to see our faces with that. That'd have been fun.
You know, I mean, you do think about that. And I was talking to a guy about that the other day, that, you know, 17 years ago when I lost my job at a safety supply company in Nashville, I thought, man, how could it get any worse? And then you go through several other things and you're like, man, thank you, Lord. I mean, it changes your perspective. It changes your heart if you let it. And you're one of those guys, man. We're going to get into your story too, but just where God changed your heart and just made you realize, hey, it's not about me anymore. And, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's sometimes those are hard to go through, and those stories are, but man, when you give it to the Lord, you just trust him and go, man, I don't know what you're doing here, God, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to trust that you're taking care of it and you're way ahead of it. And I think you've seen some of that in your life too, haven't you?
I think we all have, but yeah, I definitely have seen just submission, and not even just submission, but desperation that this life is like what Ecclesiastes says is vanity, you know, vanity of vanities, everything is vanity. And, you know, we always have to learn that the hard way. We don't want to take the Bible's word for it, you know. And so, but once again, God has used it just for him to be glorified, you know. And what better reason for anything to happen than that?
Right on. Yeah, I'm with you 100% there for sure. You know, hey, we were laughing earlier. You and I were talking, I guess, a week or so ago, and I shared the story. But, man, I remember teaching y'all. Y'all were fifth grade, and I was a science teacher at the school, and y'all came up into the middle school as fifth graders just because I guess they needed me to teach that class. But it was really cool because that one of those first days we got in, and here I go, man, I got this. I'm going to be a lecture teacher, and I'm going to just explain it all, you know, right out of the book, and that's all going to be good. And so I start lecturing, and I'm talking about the life cycle and here, you know, and all these, the sun and the energy and the nitrogen decomposition and all that fun stuff. And I turn around, and all these fifth grade students looked at me like just lost as last year's Easter egg. And I said, okay, does anybody have any questions? Knowing that it was just not connected, you know, and old Taylor Williams, bless her heart, she raised her hand and she said, Coach, I don't understand. And I said, okay, Taylor, which part? And she goes, any of it? I was like, oh, great. Have I made a bad career move here? So I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. So I went over and I got the dry erase marker, and I went up on the sun, on the erase board, and I said, okay, here's the sun. And I drew the sun, and I said, here's a field, and I drew some crops, and then the deer, and the deer eating the crops, and then a hunter shooting the deer and decomposing, and the nitrogen. And y'all, we probably spent 30 minutes drawing this illustration up on the board. And I turned around after it was all done, and we had the whole life cycle completely drawn on the board. And I'm no artist, but it left a lasting impact. But I turned around, and I looked, I said, Taylor, all right, do you understand it now? She goes, I do. And everybody else did too. And that's when I was like, okay. I learned very early on as a teacher, like, man, you got to meet people where they are. And that's true, not only in teaching, but in sales, in relationships, in ministry, and anything that you're doing. If you genuinely care about people, man, it's about meeting them where they are. And you are awesome at that. You are really good. You've got that gift. I know you do, Jagger.
Man, yeah, thank you. I mean, well, one, all of you guys listening, if you think that Coach Gage is a pretty good radio host, you gotta see his art. I'm just saying that he's still that art calling is still calling your name, man.
Hey, I hear elephants can paint, and they're spending millions for these elephants painting. If elephant can do it, surely I can too, right? Thanks.
You can too.
Oh man, thanks for the encouragement, Jags.
Thanks for saying that too. I mean, it's just compassion is one of the most crucial things you need to have in this life, and seeing people where they are is that's exactly what Jesus did with every single person, that he knew them more than they knew themselves, and he knew what to tell them and what to do for them, you know, so that some people needed healing. Some people just needed a kind word. And I mean, we all needed salvation, right? And so He knew all exactly what we needed, and now he's giving us that ability to see through people. And you also, you did a great job of that too, while teaching us, because I mean, I don't know how many times we would be acting up and asking, begging you to go outside, and you know, because there's so much signs outside, which is true. There's a lot of signs outside, but you just answer with gentleness and kindness. And sometimes we'd go outside, but then we'd just go and play anyway. So we knew what we needed. You know, we knew that we needed to get some work done when nobody wanted to do it. So,
well, it was part of that, meet them where they are, right? You know, and I know a lot of teachers, I was not a typical teacher, but a lot of teachers go, hey, we got to do. And I believe in, you know, schedules and staying on time. And we had a schedule. Mine was just a little more fly by the seat of your pants type of a schedule. And, you know, there was always a method to the madness. I tried to have that. And some of the administration would go, hey, you're taking them outside too much. I go, look, I got a lesson plan with me. We're not just out here throwing the Frisbee all the time or any of that. But sometimes we might have been. But most of the time we were checking out the wind or the bugs or, you know, anything to do in science, because to your point, man, God's creation, right? Science is everywhere, right? It's just the investigation of that is the way I look at it. So pretty cool.
Yeah. So I do have a question for you though.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so you didn't just teach science. You know, I don't know if you've told everybody that, but you also taught, I mean, how many other things? You taught history.
I taught history and Bible as well.
But that was Bible as well.
That was second year? Was that your sixth grade? That was y'all sixth grade year, right?
That was sixth grade. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, well, look.
What was your favorite one to teach?
Bible by far. And I'm going to look, you're a great table setter, man. Do you need a job? Maybe you come here and co-host with me, because we got to take a break, but we're going to come back and we're going to pick up right there, on meeting you guys in the first Bible class ever taught. That was when God really, man, I feel like showed up in my life as a teacher and as a coach, and it really began to make a difference, not only in my life, but hopefully in y'all's lives. But we're going to come back. We're going to step aside for just a few minutes, and we're going to come back on the other side with my good friend Jagger Chapman on Sunday Morning. Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful morning, man. You said that, Jagger, in the last segment. And again, so fun to be hanging out and catching up with my good friend Jagger Chapman from Franklin, Tennessee. Now Chattanooga, Tennessee, I stand corrected. You've been there for a little bit. But Jagger reminded us that was something we all said together on the football field years ago. Just, man, whatever you're going through, sometimes you just got to stand up and scream that out and go, thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day or another beautiful morning. And because, man, it truly is. It's a blessing to wake up each and every day. And let me tell you something. If you ever get an opportunity to know Jagger or a guy like Jagger, you just can't help but just love life, because man, he does, and it's just contagious, and it just makes it so much fun. Jags, we were talking in the last segment, and we kind of left it as the springboard into this one about, you know, kind of how we really took off. I mean, fifth grade science was one thing, but the next year, Grace asked me to teach sixth grade Bible, and I said no. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not a Bible teacher. And they said, well, yeah, but what you've been through with your cancer and just, you know, life and all that, it makes it even better. And I said, you know what, I'll do it. And I had no idea what I was going to do. And in walks Jagger and 11 other guys. There were 12 guys, 13 guys in that first class we all had together. And just, man, what were your thoughts walking into that class for the first time and going, man, this is going to be interesting?
Yeah, it definitely was going to be interesting, because it was good to have you back. You know, I mean, it's been, because you didn't we didn't have you in class for, I think, most of the spring semester. And so, I got to again see you out on the football field, but it was cool seeing you in class. But also, I think that just all of us as just sixth graders had a really weird relationship with Bible class as well. Just because all that we would do for the last few years before that at this private Christian school, which, again, God did his thing. And I'm not putting down a school that God has put there, but it was just Bible class was just a grade, you know. Memory verses were just to pass the class, and Jesus was just there for us to know how to answer these questions right. And so I think I was expecting that again, and then God just turned that all around and showed us what it is to truly know him. And then what it is to truly live for him and to follow his commandments, you know. And Coach, you're just a crucial part of that, you know, that we would have just been in a curriculum that whole year if it wasn't for you saying yes to him, you know?
Well, and it was a revelation for me too, as a grown man, as a dad, as a father, as a coach and a teacher, because we were doing that same thing, right? We started the Winning Your Race book and we started going through that thing. And it was just like, man, what are we doing here? And I've shared it on here before, but man, over Thanksgiving break, I just came down to my parents down here in Alabama and just prayed about it. You know, I remember being on the lake, out in the canoe, just paddling, going, man, where am I missing it, God? Like there's more to it than just memory verses, right? Not that they're not important, but these guys know all these stories. You know, a lot of them grew up in church and they know about Jonah and the whale, and they know about Daniel and the lion's den. Again, not discounting those stories at all, but it was just, there was no challenge, and it was head knowledge. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart, is it's a head knowledge, but it's really about a heart knowledge, and it's about a relationship with him and that heartitude that we've always talked about. And you know, I went back and I told you guys that Monday morning after Thanksgiving break, I said, take your workbooks and go put them on the back shelf. And I said, get your Bibles, go get them out of your lockers or get them out of your backpack, whatever. And we're going to need those every day. And y'all, we opened the book of Acts. And Coach Gage and a bunch of sixth grade guys opened the book of Acts that Monday after Thanksgiving in 2013, I guess it was. And man, lives were changed, were they not?
They were indeed. I mean, it's just crazy that it was the first step for a lot of our faith that, you know, we've read curriculums and we've read books about Bible stories, but none of us have ever like sat around a group of guys and talked about the Bible and read it together. And whenever someone had an objection or whenever someone was confused about something, we wouldn't pass on or say that, you know, why would you ask that? No, we dug into it, you know. We dug into why Saul was turned into Paul, and then we dug into when Jesus was actually raised from the dead, and then what the 3 days meant and everything. And so it was just a cool thing to do that I've actually held on to for most of my life now, is that like if there's a question that you have about your faith and about the Word, that you shouldn't shy from it, but you should just pursue it and ask the Lord to give you wisdom and guidance through that, you know? And so that was the beginning. I've never done anything like that until that sixth grade class.
Well, and again, it's that genuineness. And look, it's not me. It's the Lord, y'all. The Lord gave me that word sitting in a canoe in Wilsonville, Alabama at Thanksgiving break on Lay Lake. And it was just like, I'm so thankful for that because the Lord spoke that into my heart, and I said, it's out of my comfort zone. But no, I knew that's what we need to do. And he also gave me right around that time, Jagger, you and I have talked about this before, but I got that word from the Lord. It was like, it's about Jesus, the verb, not Jesus, the noun. Mm. And I'm a science teacher, so I was like, I had to go almost to the English teacher and be like, what does this mean, right? You know, I'm kidding. But really, no, it's Jesus, the noun. It's like historical context, person, place, or thing. And that's exactly what you were talking about up until this point. A lot of us, you're just going through the motions, and you show up for church, and you show up, and you know all the answers, and da-da-da-da. And only you know if you really have that relationship with the Lord. But when you go from the Jesus, the head knowledge and of Jesus Christ and who he was and the historical context, and Jesus the noun, yeah, we got to know all that stuff. But when you really get that it's about Jesus the verb, and verb is what? An action word, right? And so you got to put it into action. And you guys did that tremendously, because I know on that first day when we came back from Thanksgiving and I explained, hey, we're going to get in the book of Acts. And I said, on top of that, we got to start being Jesus the verb, and I want you guys to be thinking about a service project that we can do. And we'll come up with it. Man, I'm thinking it's going to take most of the year. Maybe we'll have it all pulled together by spring break or something, and it's Thanksgiving again at this point. And I said, y'all just be thinking about that. And I know you remember, but at the end of that class that day, that Monday after Thanksgiving, old Jace Moore raised his hand. He goes, Coach, I got an idea. And I said, what is it? And he said, we need to go raise money to buy Bibles and go pass them out at homeless shelters. And y'all, that day, Operation Impact was born. Was it not, Jagger?
It was indeed. Yeah, it was still one of the coolest things that the Holy Spirit was truly active. And it started with head knowledge, you know? Like you said, like we were understanding and we wanted to learn about who Jesus is and what he's called us to do. And then because of that heart, the head knowledge that we got and turned into heart knowledge when we started truly understanding what he did, then it turned into action, you know? And that's what it always happens with Scripture, is that every time you read it, the Holy Spirit will convict you to want to go, you know, and to want to live for him and to follow what he's told us to do. And so Acts, the beginning of Acts that we were reading, is all about helping out the poor and the widows. And I think, yeah, God just laid it out on all of our hearts that, like, what are we doing sitting here and reading this and not doing it? You know,
exactly. So, well, look, yeah. And as a dad, as the teacher again, right? Man, I had not spent much time in Acts, and I didn't know what was coming. The Lord just laid that on my heart, and the fact it was, or it is, what it is, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's about Jesus. You know, right after the crucifixion, and he's going back to heaven. He comes back to the disciples in the prayer room. He says, "Touch him. Here's the scars. It's me." I mean, I got to go away so I can prepare a place for you. And I'm paraphrasing, y'all. This is just old Shaw version, but he said, "I got to go away and I got to prepare that place for you." And he said, "If I don't go away, the great comforter can't come." And the great comforter is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had to step aside and go on to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come and invade the hearts of the disciples. And that same Holy Spirit, you guys got it as sixth graders, man. Y'all understood it. Right. Was so thankful for that. But that same Holy Spirit that invaded the hearts of the disciples thousands of years ago is the same Holy Spirit that invades our hearts today.
Amen.
Man.
Yeah. And it was just the coolest thing that also, just like, we were in school, you know, and so everything I did in school was for a grade, and it was for maybe recognition from peers and teachers. But then this time we were all just together. We're like, we don't care about these grades right now. We don't care about what the other class is going to think. We got to go. we got to do this. And it just happened so quick that, you know, we were raising some money, and then was it someone's uncle or grandpa or something like that brought in boxes and boxes of Bibles one day?
Yeah, Harris Hicks' grandfather over in Memphis. He was part of the Gideon Society, I think is what it's called, the Gideon Bibles, and he sent a bunch of New Testament Bibles in for us to go do that with. But you guys did, you cut grass, you did bake sales. Yes, I had sixth grade guys baking baked goods and selling them at school so they could do this. I mean, that's the heart you guys had as 12-year-old guys, 13-year-old guys in the sixth grade. And, it impacted countless people that you'll never see again. But I want you to know, man, thank you for impacting me, because y'all sit there and think, hey, I was impacted heavily by you and your guys, man. Operation Impact, it really did. It still speaks to me, and I still talk about it all the time on this program when I have a chance.
Well, and it's just something that it's just a great reminder for me right now in my walk with the Lord, is that that if God wants us to do something, and if he's put something on our heart, he doesn't just leave us to do it. You know, he's going to do it. It's his plan. We are his, so he's going to get it done. That just reminds me of Philippians 1:6. This is Paul talking. He says, "I am sure of this." Paul is sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, we did not give out Bibles to homeless people until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, hopefully we're still helping out the homeless, but we just have that hope, and that we have that assurance that even though the things that Jesus is telling us to do is a lot, can be overwhelming, that it's his call. And so it's his job. And so all that we have to do is just cling to him and watch him do his thing, right?
That's it, man. It's the Great Commission, and that's what it's all about. And you and I were talking about this earlier this week, getting ready for the show, but we're going to come back in the next segment, and we're going to talk about that Great Commission and how what Jagger and his classmates did back in 2013 in Leapers Fork, Tennessee, how it impacted not only what he's doing now, but also the whole group and just what's happening. Y'all stick around. We're going to come back in just a few minutes and hear more from my good friend Jagger Chapman on Sunday Morning. Back in studio with Mr. Jagger Chapman. Jagger, you having fun, man? We're so glad you came in today.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is awesome. I mean, yeah, it's just what a blessing it is that we just get to come here and just declare the glory of God. You know, and it's not about talking about, I don't know, anything in this world that we try to cling on to. But it's just about the guy who made all of it, and the guy who's sustaining all of it, and the guy who loves us more than anything. So let's keep on doing it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And, you know, hey, that love is what it's all about, that grace and that mercy and that love of Jesus Christ. Nothing we can do to earn it, nothing we can do to buy it, nothing we can do to trade for it. We just got to accept it. And it's hard for us to do. I don't know why that is. I guess it's our sinful nature. But once you figure it out, I mean, it's, you're not perfect, but you again, I started to realize when I met you guys in sixth grade and went through my cancer battle and all that, yeah, I went through the poor, poor me moment. And I don't discount anybody that does that. I get it. I completely understand those emotions. But at a certain point, I realized it's not about me, because I learned a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about who I was. And I learned, more importantly, who I'm not. And I'm not God. I'm not the creator of the universe. And it's not about Shaw. It's not about Coach Gage. And so that's the way I began to try to live my life, was how can I impact other people? And how can I begin pouring in them, let them know whatever they're going through, it's going to be all right. And, you know, God, Jesus gave us that, you know, the Great Commission. And Jagger, you and I have had some conversations about that. And like, yeah, I wanted you to just share with the audience, like, man, the first time you heard the Great Commission, and what that first real genuine tug at your heart as an adult when you went, oh, wait a minute, I got to do something with this.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's I love this story. It's a fun story, because before I gave, after Operation Impact, after seventh grade, where we kind of parted ways and Coach Gage wasn't our Bible teacher anymore, I didn't really care to read my Bible anymore after that. I didn't really want to do anything with Jesus, and that went on until about 2.5 years ago, you know, and then just at a place of, like I said at the beginning, of just understanding that this world is vanity, I would cry out to God and ask him to talk to me. And I would say, Lord, if you are here, if you're with me right now, whisper in my ear and I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. And I would pray that a lot. And he never would talk to me until I finally opened up the word again and listened to everybody around me who was saying how much the Lord loves me. And that took me to, I mean, after a few months after I gave my life to Jesus, through my older brother, the Lord brought me to Papua New Guinea, which is it sounds like it's in Africa. And I think some of you guys are probably some big geography people, but it is a island north of Australia. So you have Australia, the big old Great Barrier Reef, and then you have Papua New Guinea up there. And God brought me there to what I would say the ends of the earth is, without me even wanting to go. But he aligned that perfectly, and that's where I learned about Jesus' heart for the nations, and that even though I've had a Bible sitting in my closet my whole life, that there's people over there in Papua New Guinea that have no written language, so they don't have a Bible, they can't read. Nobody has ever heard, countless tribes and countless people that are just like us that have never heard the name of Jesus before in their lives, and they're begging for it, you know? And so I went over there with a mission organization, and they showed us what it is to follow the Great Commission and what it is. And it's just blown my mind ever since, that Jesus has made this declaration in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. And he has told us, one, most of them consist of him saying that he is in charge, that all authority has been given to him. And then he gives us a command. Because of that authority, he can tell us to go. And he tells us to go where? Everywhere. Go everywhere and tell people about me, and not just tell people about me, but make disciples. And those disciples is a long-lasting relationship, that we don't just go and say Jesus loves you, but we go and show them the love of Jesus, like what we talked about earlier. We show how Jesus is a verb. You know, and then we sit with them, and then we explain what it is. Because the gospel, I mean, we do need the Lord's guidance and provision to know about the gospel, to understand it, because it can be a complicated thing, especially somebody in a completely different worldview and a different culture over there. So, that's what I went over there summer of 2024 for about 6 weeks or so, and man, God has just been rocking my world ever since with that Great Commission and telling me to go. So,
well, and so, like, Jags, you went over there just kind of checking boxes, man, I'm going to go do this mission trip. I mean, you were excited probably to go, but you weren't like, Man, I mean, where were you? I'm asking, I guess. I shouldn't be assuming any of that. But, like, what was your thought as you were going on the trip? Were you like, man, I'm going to do this for the Lord? Or were you like, hey, I'm going to check a box, more of that head knowledge kind of thing? And then that's when the Holy Spirit got you over there and was just like, hey, you got to go. You got to tell disciples. You got to make disciples.
Yeah. Well, I was about to graduate college at UTC, and I just felt – there was so much noise around me, right? When I was trying to understand who God is, again, a few months after I gave my life to Jesus, I wanted to escape. That's really what it was. I needed to get away from everything, from everybody that was keeping me from Jesus, from all the my phone and other worldly things, and go into the middle of the jungle and know who God is in that way. Mm. And so that's really what my goal was, is to escape from everything. But then when I was over there, God showed me how he's been kind of directing my whole life to prepare me for this. That I mean, not even just with Operation Impact. That was the one thing that I loved doing that. I loved just doing things for him, because not because I need to, but because he has given us the privilege to do that. But also, I was about to graduate college with a marketing degree, and I didn't care about marketing at all. I learned that marketing is just social media and website design. And again, there's some people that God has totally gifted them with that. And I respect them wholeheartedly, because that is one of the most challenging things for me. And so I had no purpose in life except to follow the Lord. And then he showed me there whenever, I mean, I went to this village once and they asked me if I knew who Jesus was. And I was like, yes, I do. And they asked me someone was translating, because there's about 800 different languages in the island of Papua New Guinea on its own. And so we were translating, and they were begging me to tell them. They're begging me to tell them who Jesus was. And because of so many different language barriers, because of cultural things, their worldview was totally different from mine. So they didn't have a word for thank you. They didn't have a word for love or a word for grace. That there's so many different things that I learned that I had to say no. And that's just the weirdest thing, and don't shame me for it, because it's still heartbreaking to this day that there's people out there that are literally dying to know who Jesus is, and nobody's there to tell them, you know? And so I kind of got that conviction again, like in Operation Impact, where God positioned us so perfectly to do what he wanted us to do. And the same thing over there, that God positioned me in the perfect spot for me to understand his heart for the nations and his heart for me to go. And then he's equipped me with things and you know, the time and my age and just so many things for me to say yes, you know. And so after I got back from Papua New Guinea, I started going to be a church planter over there head first, you know. And that's been a whole journey of submitting to the Lord and letting him guide me instead of me making my own path. And now he's bringing me back again this summer, you know. And so just going back and no longer learning, but helping serve there this time and being able to disciple some guys who are going to be going for the first time and who were in my shoes 2 years ago, and being able to see that for the first time too is insane. So, he's doing his thing. That's for sure.
Man, that is so cool. And it's just neat how God used that experience to get you fired up and to plant those seeds in your heart about being Jesus the Verb. And now here you're going back. We're going to come back here in just a few minutes and carry on more with Jagger Chapman about it. But let's catch up on the other side about what that is, where you're going this summer, and, man, the opportunity you have. And, again, man, I'm just so thankful for you and your heart to serve the Lord and to serve other people, because in this day and age, Jagger, as you know, it's very rare to find somebody that will actually go and serve somebody other than themselves. And it's just where we are as a society. It's the marketing, it's the attitude, it's the phones, it's the everything. We're a selfish generation, but it's fun to meet a man like yourself who has that selfless heart and definitely a yearning to not only help others, but to tell and share Jesus with them. And man, you're doing a great job of that. But we're going to come back here in just a few minutes and follow up more with Mr. Jagger Chapman on Sunday morning. Jagger Chapman hanging with us today on Sunday morning. Jagger, thanks again for being here and just being an encouragement to our listeners. We were talking in the last segment, you know, just about that first mission trip you had in Papua New Guinea and how impactful that was when you really heard the calling of the Great Commission and what it meant to you. And now, hey, it's go time. And so, man, where are you now? What did that mission trip do for you as far as, you know, being the hands and feet of Jesus and continuing that ministry on?
Man, well, okay, good question. And again, thanks for having me. You know, this is just, again, the coolest thing. So, So after I got back from Papua New Guinea, I had a purpose for the first time in my life. I had a career that I wanted to pursue, and I had a place I wanted to live and something I wanted to do. And also it was for the Lord, you know, so it was the best of both worlds. And so I immediately, just kept on talking with Ethnos 360, the organization that I went with, and asked what the next steps are. You know, I told them, I want to do this. I want to be a church planter in Papua New Guinea. And so what that is you go over to Papua New Guinea and there's a national language that you kind of have, a trade language, you know. And so all the main cities kind of speak in this language. It's called Tok Pidgin or Melanesian Pidgin. And it's kind of a weird combo of English, Spanish, and I think Dutch, which is really fun.
Okay.
So you would learn that, and then it's crazy. This is a stat that I haven't checked since 2 years ago, that there's this map over there that was in this office in Papua New Guinea. And I think back in 2024, there was 17 villages that have been asking for the gospel to be sent to them for, I think, 10 plus years. Forgive me if I'm wrong with that, but I mean, they've been asking for a while. It's not even like spreading the word here where you go up to someone and say, can I tell you about Jesus? But they're coming up to you begging to hear about Jesus. And so there's 17 villages. So you would, by prayer and by kind of your skill set and everything, you'd be assigned to one of those villages. So you'd go to that village, build a house, and then just grow with the people. You would learn their language, learn their worldview, learn what makes them click. What do they think about God right now, you know, before they know anything about Jesus? Because most of the tribes over there are still pretty, very tribal living, you know, living in huts and no running water, no electricity. There's this village I went to. This is a normal village there that's about a 2-day hike to the nearest road, you know. And then it's not just a hike on a nice trail. It's through the jungle. And so they're pretty out there. And so their views on everything are completely different than everybody else's. And so you learn about that. You learn their language. And then most of them don't have a written language. So then you would create a written language for them. And that just always blows their mind, you know, that you can write something on a piece of paper, give it to someone else, and it makes perfect sense to them. You know, and so that would be the next step. Once you create a written language for them, you would teach them how to read and write that language. And that can take a lot of time. There's some people it's so cool how God has gifted people like this, that there's some people over there that just get it so naturally and can read so easily and can write so easily. But once you teach them how to read and write, then you can translate the Bible for them. You know, we always start from the beginning, creation, and go to the end, especially Christ, but Revelation, you know, and just start from the beginning, go from there, and translate the Bible so that they can understand it and read it on their own, because that is just such a huge part of anybody's walk, is to be able to read the Word. And then you teach them, and it takes a few years. It took, I think, at the village I went to, it took 2 years or so for them to hear the gospel for the first time, which is, I mean, so hard for the missionaries that they're still asking them. So can you tell us about this guy yet? Can you tell us? And again, you have to say, just wait, you know, because we love when the Lord tells us to wait, you know. Patience is awesome, isn't it? And then once you share the gospel, you don't just leave, you stay there and you make a rooted, God-centered, healthy church for them, not for them, but with them, where you are helping elders being made, and you're helping different worship things, and you're kind of guiding them on what it is to be a church and to be a community around that church. And so then after that, after a few years of that, then by the grace of God, you can maybe retire, you know. So a lot of people that I've known, it's about about 15 to 20 year process, you know. Wow. I mean, some people are there until they see Jesus, you know, which is another mind-blowing thing. So that's what I feel like God's calling me to do right now, and that's what I would love to do. I mean, it's gonna be hard, and it's gonna really not be the, I don't know, it might be the funnest thing ever. I have no idea yet. But so I'm on path to that. In order to do that, I'm in Bible school right now. I have to get a 2-year Bible degree in order to join the school, just so they know that I know scripture, you know, and then go into some training after that for another 2 or so years. And so it's looking like another 4 years until I'm able to actually get back to Papua New Guinea and do what I feel like God's called me to do. So in the meantime, luckily, they're giving me opportunities. The Lord is giving me some awesome opportunities to go back over there. And it's the same mission trip I went on 2 years ago, but instead of me being a student and me learning from all the people, I get to be kind of an in-between helper, where I'm not a full missionary yet, so I'm not teaching them, but I get to walk with them through crazy questions and hard decisions and God blowing their minds for maybe the first time in their life. And I just get to sit there and listen to them, and also get to help cook in the kitchens over there, and get to speak with the locals some more, and practice my Melanesian pidgin, and just get to grow my relationship with the Lord, especially.
Man, and that's so special. And like, so when you were first talking about that in this segment, and I'm going, well, you know, why would they, my brain was just going, why would, I mean, I can't fathom people coming running up to me going, tell me about Jesus. Number one, that's not the way it is here in this country. Typically, I've never run into those type of communities. But secondly, I guess if they can't read and write, they can't read a Bible, right? They might have a Bible, and they may be limited on that, those resources as well. But I've just got all these things, and I'm going, why? But then I turn around and go, man, first world problems. Like, I'm trying to put their situation on my timeline and my resources, but man, and I've got multiple Bibles in my house, and I can read and write. My family can read and write, but how often does it sit there on the table and not get read? But yet, I can pick up my phone or my iPad or my computer or the TV for that matter, and man, I can do that stuff, you know, for hours on end. But picking up that Bible, man, so that's just a great word of encouragement, man, Jagger. That's so cool, because man, you see that. And the other thing I wanted to mention is you're meeting them where they are. We started this thing off today talking about that, but that's so important. Look, it's not just spiritual conversations, but it's if you genuinely want to impact a person or a group of people or your community or whatever it is. I learned that a long time ago. It's not about me. People aren't going to come to me and go, oh, tell me what you think. No, I'm going to have to meet people where they are and break down those conversations and genuinely be there and be present. Because it goes back to that old adage we used to talk about all the time. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you show people that you care, it's genuine and you're vulnerable. And it just, man, it just opens doors, because number one, it's the right thing to do. And it's that Great Commission, right? It goes back to what we were just talking about. It's just go make disciples. Just share the grace and love of Jesus Christ with everybody. And I applaud you, dude, man. I'm so proud of you. I think that's just super cool. You felt that tug. And, you know, if you're out there listening and you felt that tug, like Jagger just said a little while ago, man, just jump in and just see what God does, because he is going to bless your life and bless your journey in ways you never could have dreamed. I know that. I know countless people in my life that know that. And look, I forget it from time to time, and I'm ashamed to admit that, but sometimes I go, no, I got this, or God can't, man, God can handle anything. You just got to trust him with it and just go, God, you know, where do you want me to go and what do you want me to do? I'm in. And Jagger, I'm proud of you. I think you've had that moment.
Yeah, I mean, thanks. I mean, it's just, again, like what we said with Operation Impact, that it wasn't our plan, you know, that we are God's workmanship. We are created for good works.
Yes.
That he that were planned from beforehand. That God has such awesome things planned for each and every single one of us.
Oh yeah,
you know, and I mean, some of us are called to go to the ends of the earth, but also in comparison to Jerusalem, where Jesus was at, this is the ends of the earth right here. You know, and so it's just funny that He just wants us to say yes to Him.
That's
you
it.
Know,
bottom line, that
He gives us a choice. And once we say yes, He is going to change your life.
Oh man,
forever! It's just the coolest thing.
In a mighty, mighty way, mighty, mighty way. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break right here. We're going to come back and share more with Jagger and his heart, and we'll share this on the other side, a story of a young missionary, and I think we can all take it to heart. But we'll catch up on that one on the other side. Jagger, it was we were talking in the last segment. There was a story I think I shared with you guys in Operation Impact Days, but it's just a good reminder. And y'all, I'm setting this up just to say this is not Jagger Chapman, but it just reminded of a story about a young man that was in seminary and top of his class and 4.0 grade point average. And man, he was just skating through his senior year and had all the answers, knew all the head knowledge, knew every bit of it, and graduated. Was planning to graduate top of his class, and they called him in. The advisory board said, "Hey, your final exam consists of one question this year, and you've done a great job, top of the class, best student we've ever had at the seminary, and we're just going to ask you this one question, and then you'll be ready to graduate." And he said, "Oh yeah, I got this. What's the question?" And they said, "Your next door neighbor, do they know Jesus?" And the guy just stopped, and he hung his head, and he said, "You know, I don't know." And they said, "Well, we're sorry. You're still going to graduate, but you're not going to be able to. We're not going to send you on our dime halfway across the world to tell people about Jesus if you can't go next door and do it." And, man, that was a heavy one to hear, because it was like, man, here's this guy's invested all this time and energy and his heart and his head into this project and becoming a missionary. But yet, you know, the people right around him didn't know. And sometimes it's hard to talk to those people closest to us, either physically or family related or whatever it may be. But Jagger, you don't let stuff like that hold you up, man. You see somebody in need, man, you have a heart for that. And you were talking off air, but just about the faithfulness, you know, of God, and just, man, yeah, there's days you want to quit, days you want to give up, but man, you keep putting one foot in front of the other and you keep showing up. We talked about that on last week's show about, man, it's important just to keep showing up. And you're one of those dudes in life that just keeps showing up. But tell us about, man, just that faithfulness that God has in you and just how He's just been there every step of the way.
Oh man. I mean, there's this one quote that, in my Bible school, I'm doing it online, which is, it is what it is. You know, the Lord's doing His thing, but I have to watch these chapels, and the chapels are these testimonies of these missionaries who have done it. You know, the Lord has taken them to a village. They have shared the gospel, and now they're home, and now they're here to share their testimony. And there's this one guy who, before he went out on the field, he was raising money for support. You know, Ethnos 360 is a organization where it's all support raise, you know, where it's us, where it's contributing people and churches that donate and partner with us to send, you know. And so he was having to raise, I think this was back in the 70s, so it was around $2,000 or so in 2 weeks. And one of his friends comes up to him. He's like, "Are you not freaking out? Like, yeah, that's a lot of money that you got to raise in 2 weeks." And the guy just said, he's this old missionary dude now, and he said so nonchalantly, he's like, "Well, God wants me to go more than I want to go, so He'll get me there."
Yes, I love it.
And it's just, I think that's what we forget a lot, and that's what I forget a lot, is that I really want to do this, but if it's God's will for our life, then He's going to do it. Again, He is faithful and just to come through, because He planned it. You know, so might as well just trust that He's going to do it. And so that's been a lot of my path now, is that through praying about going back to Papua New Guinea, through praying to go to Papua New Guinea and the steps, it's been, I've been honestly pretty anxious through a lot of it, you know, and just hesitant on if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm doing enough for the Lord, if He's wanting me to do anything else. And while I'm freaking out about myself, God is placing the most perfect situations, and He's just carrying me through it all. And so, and especially in fundraising this time, this is a little story that I I was asked to go on this trip a few weeks ago, and they told me that I had to raise about $2,600 in a week and a half or so. And obviously, you know, I was pretty nervous, and I'm not the best at support raising because I just don't like, I felt like I had to ask people for stuff. And through the last week and a half, I had to have $2,600 by yesterday. And through just prayer about it, and I didn't really even ask people for support. I just talked to people about it, and I looked at my account, I think Wednesday, and I had $3,100. You know, it's what? Just God is a God of abundance.
Wow,
you
know? $3,100.
Yeah, $3,100. And so, yeah, I'm getting to that goal. I still have a little bit more to raise, but it, again, it's not me. I don't have to raise it. I just wait for the Lord and let Him guide me and let Him guide me on the conversations. One of my mission mentors who did plant a church in Papua New Guinea, and so he's obviously an awesome guy to talk to. When I was asking him about, like, because he's been a missionary for, I think, around 30-something years, and he said he's not had to ask for money once. You know, he's never gone up to somebody and said, hey, can I please just have a few dollars for this? Because he doesn't look to people to ask for money. He looks for people who need to know about this, you know? And that's just a cool reminder for me, and that's also why I'm here for you guys, is that I'm not here to ask you guys for money or anything like that, but I just, people need to know that there are people out there on this world that have no access to the name of Jesus, and that they are dying without ever hearing who Jesus is. And I want you guys to dig into scripture on your own and see, ask the Lord, what happens to people if they never hear about your name? Because I know we have that hypothetical, if they're on a desert island and never know about Jesus, what happens? But it's not a hypothetical. That is going on right now, that people are currently begging for it. And so, yeah, I'm just really blessed that God has given me the opportunity to tell you guys about it and tell you guys about His heart for not just people in Papua New Guinea, but for the world, and that how much He loves you and how much He's done for you. He's doing that for other people right now.
Amen.
All over the world.
Yeah, so know? True, so true. And look, it's man, that's part of the ministry, right? That's part of being a missionary, is raising monies and different things. And so, yeah, I believe a lot of times, you know, it'd be nice if you didn't have to ask for things. But man, we're going to give you a shout out right now. If you're interested, Jagger needs your help. I'll say it for him. Ethnos 360, that organization needs your help. So if you can hear us and you've got an extra dollar or $100 or $1,000, just something to impact the world, because these folks are literally going, investing time and energy and their relationship with the Lord, but then they're going across the other side of the world and they're sharing Jesus with people on the other side of the planet because they have a heart for it, and they don't have the abilities to, or the resources all the time to be able to fund these trips. So if you could, man, support my buddy Jagger Chapman. You can do that, Ethnos 360. That's Ethnos 360.org, O-R-G, / missionaries. And then if you'll type in Jagger Chapman, that's J-A-G-G-E-R, Chapman, C-H-A-P-M-A-N, and check him out, ethnos360.org, do the missionaries thing and look for my friend Jagger Chapman, or anybody that the Lord lays on your heart. Man, just what's our why, right? I asked, you know, Janet and I were talking about the other day, we both have, we're blessed, we have good jobs, and we, you know, our boys are grown now, and, you know, we're in a good spot, and so it's nice to be able to help folks out. And if you're out there and can hear this, man, help these folks out. These people are young folks, they're out there, they're trying to get the name of Jesus out there and the Great Commission spread, and they need your help. So anything you can do to pitch in would be tremendous. And Jagger, man, I just want to say, man, I appreciate everything that you've done, man, since I've known you when you were in fifth grade. And man, you've just always had a spark, you know, you just had a zeal for life and for Jesus and just for encouraging other people. And that's such a rare gift this day and age. So don't ever let go of that. And, man, keep that light shining and just keep on doing you, man. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, Coach. And I just, the Lord is doing His thing once again. And I just can't I'm just still in shock that Jagger and Coach Gage are on a radio show together right now.
You know, we might have joked about this back, what has that been, 15? Well, what are we in, 26? That was 14 years ago. Man, time's flying by. When we first met, and we just told each other at the end of that first school year, hey, we're going to be on a radio show together in 14 years, talking about what's happening in the next 14 years. I'd have been like, okay. But here we are, man. Sure. And God is good, and God is faithful. And Jagger, I just appreciate you bringing that message and that encouragement, not only to our listeners, but just everybody you come into contact with each and every day.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Coach says. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:3. But by the grace of God. Oh, no. Sorry. 15:10. Oops. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. And I think that's just been a really cool message today, starting from Operation Impact, that we worked for those Bibles, and we worked to go and share them, and still now we're all working for the Lord, but it's not us that's doing the work. It's not us that's toiling, that Jesus asks us to give him our burdens, that he's doing it. And so just trust in that today. Trust in his faithfulness, and trust that God is a man of his word, and that he is going to carry you through the end.
And he will. So awesome. Hey, we're going to step aside for a few minutes, come back, wrap it up with Jagger Chapman, ethnos360.org. Look at their missionaries tab and click on Jagger Chapman. Support him with whatever you can. These guys and gals, man, they're risking a lot. They're risking their lives. They're doing a lot to go just spread the gospel. So hit them up today. Support them as best you can. Look, hey, money's not all of it, too. They need prayer, so everybody can pray. If you can't afford to donate anything, I get it, but man, at least send some prayers up their way. And we'll come back and wrap it up with Jagger here in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. Jagger, can't believe we're already to the end of another show. I mean, it's just been such a fun time hanging out with you and catching up and just, you know, walking through life, not only when we met years ago, now fast forward to, 12 years later, whatever it's been, and 14, I guess. Goodness, my math is terrible. That's why they didn't have me teach math, y'all. But anyway, just so much fun to hear about what God's doing in your life and just where you're going and what you're doing and the zeal and the heart that you have for other people and most importantly the Lord. But as we were kind of wrapping the last segment up, we were talking about prayer. You know, money's one thing, and yes, we can use all the help, but Ethnos 360 and gentlemen like Jagger and the other missionaries out there, they could use your help financially, but most importantly prayer, man, right? I mean, everybody can pray, am I right?
That is very true. I mean, if you don't think you can, just try. Because it's a fun thing to do. Again, like what we've been talking about, God's in charge, and he is pulling the strings, and he's knowing what he needs to do for people to know him, And so it doesn't matter how much money we have or how much support we gain or anything like that, but it's about knowing that our Heavenly Father listens to us so intently. And he just cares so deeply for us that he listens to our prayers and he answers, and sometimes those prayers and the answers aren't exactly what we wanted or anything, but he, man, there's this quote, I think I'm probably going to botch it, but I'm just going to try it anyway. but if that God gives us currently, God gives us everything that we would ask for if we knew everything that was going on.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're going to look back and we're going to say, like you with your cancer diagnosis and with you losing your job, that if you knew that would bring you to right now, that's a hard thing to ask, but he's faithful and just. And so, I just really ask you guys and beg you guys to pray. Pray for God to reveal his heart to the nations, to reveal his heart to the people who he wants to go. Pray for the people who are going right now, for missionaries, that they stay with the Lord and they stay clinging on to him. Pray for the people out there that are angry with God, that don't want to hear anything about him, that the Holy Spirit will soften their hearts. And then again, pray for the people who have never heard the name of Jesus before, that God continues to send people, and God continues to put them in positions where they can hear about the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and that we can one day. I always think about this all the time, is that this village I went to, they did this farewell ceremony for us, and they gave us these arrows and these, they're called bilums. There's these little kind of purse things, satchel things. And Mark, this guy that I got really close with, he, I could barely understand him because of his other language, but he said, "I might not see you again in this life, but I cannot wait to worship with you one day."
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow. That's powerful.
And so yeah. And so no matter what, you guys hearing this right now, you'll be able to get to heaven one day, and you will see people in Papua New Guinea worshiping the Lord, and you will know that he just loves doing his thing. You know, and so just remember that. Remember the eternity perspective that this is not just for getting numbers on the board, but it's about souls, eternal souls, and that God's giving us a privilege to be a part of them knowing who their great creator being is.
Man,
so
that's such
thanks again for everything. Coach, it's been awesome today.
Man, my pleasure. It's so awesome to hear that. And what a great reminder. Yeah, it's all God's anyway. I mean, not only he's got it all beat, right? He's got it all figured out. We just got to trust him. But it's all his, the stuff, the material. You know, I we're all guilty of, you know, I want a nice house, a nice car, a nice shirt, nice whatever. And there's nothing wrong with nice things. But when that becomes the chase for that becomes more important than the chase for our relationship with the Lord, I think that's where it gets upside down. And, you know, that stuff is going to leave you disappointed every time. But Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. It may not look exactly like you thought or I thought it was going to turn out, or what I, you know, if I could draw it up and I was the creator, yeah, I would have done it this way. No. Like you said, God's already knows what he's doing, and he allows job loss. He allows cancer diagnosis. He allows, you know, different things in life to happen. And, you know, I turn around now and I go, man, I've had an opportunity this week. There's a local plant here in Childersburg, Alabama, that announced they're closing their doors. And there's 285 jobs gone, and there's 285 families that are affected, plus other people that are associated with that company nonetheless. But like, I've had hard conversations, but good conversations with people, employees at this plant, and go, man, I don't know why, but 17 years ago, y'all, I lost my job, and I thought that was, oh, how am I going to get over this? But you know, within a day or two, I realized what the Lord was doing. I said, God, here I am. Send me. And I remember getting on my knees in the office in the playroom at my old house and tears streaming down my face. I said, God, I get it. I'm going back to get this teaching degree. Help me find people out there that are hurting. And man, 17 years later, here we are. And it's like, man, God is good. And that job loss that I went through, yeah, it was painful at the time. But now you turn around and go, well, that allowed me to go through the next thing and through the next thing and through the next thing. And now I turn around and go, hey, there may be a next thing coming. I don't know. I'm sure there is somewhere down the road. But for now, I'm just trying to encourage people that are going through the things that I've been through and going, hey, here's just a little bit of encouragement. Here's what I did right. Here's what I did wrong. But I can tell you every time, when I was doing right, it was the Lord. And when it was wrong, it was me. So just, y'all, trust in the Lord and just give it to him. He wants to help you anyway, and he's going to bless you. I don't know why we fight it. I don't know why we try to take control and just be selfish about those decisions in life or those things in life. But, y'all, when you let go and let God, as Miss Barbara used to say, man, he'll bless you, and he'll bless your life forever. But Jagger, man, again, I just appreciate your time here today, coming in, hanging out with us, and just sharing your heart and what you're doing with Ethnos 360. Again, if you could support my buddy Jagger Chapman, go to ethnos360.org. You do the / and missionaries, and then you can type in his name, Jagger Chapman, and just support him, not only financially, but also with prayers and the whole organization. And man, just whoever God lays on your heart, because this is what it's all about. It's that Great Commission. And Jagger, I applaud you again, man, for just standing up and being the man God created you to be.
Mm-hmm. By the grace of God,
right on.
I am what I am.
That's it, baby. Yeah. It's all what it's about. It's just his grace. So, love you, man. I'm proud of you, and we're gonna be praying for you. We're gonna get updates from him. When is the trip this summer?
It is May 25th.
May 25th. And how long are you gonna be over there?
So it's about 5 weeks this time. So I'm going to be coming back around June 30th. I guess the World Cup happening in Atlanta has messed up a lot of plane tickets or something. So
okay,
got to cut it a little early.
Okay. So pretty much the whole last week of May and pretty much the whole month of June, Jagger is going to be, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. He's going to be over in Papua New Guinea with ethnos360.org, the missionary crew, and they're going to be serving the Lord. So we're going to be praying for you while you're over there that whole time. And, man, we'll try to figure out ways to communicate with you maybe, or we'll have you back when you come, and just can't wait to hear what the Lord does while you're over there.
Yeah, let's just keep on glorifying his name, you know him and make him known, right?
That's it, man. Like you said, that's what it's all about. So keep on rocking on. Keep him in your prayers. Jagger Chapman, man, thanks again, buddy, for coming in, and can't wait to hear what God does while you're over there.
Yes, thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Jags. Love you, man. We'll be back here next Sunday.